We'll begin with verse number 1, Luke chapter number 15. We'll begin with verse number 1. While you're flipping through your Bible and searching for this passage, I want to do something different. Do something that the Lord impressed and laid upon. Never thought of this before, never heard of it done. But I felt the Lord as we was traveling home yesterday. It wasn't nothing I heard at camp meeting, so I'm not dragging this off another preacher. But I felt the Lord is just strongly impressed upon my heart, spoke to me. Something that I feel that we need to do as a church. And we got a lot of things going on, but we've got to go on and do the business of God. I feel like I want you to go home and pray about it. And by Wednesday night, or at least next Sunday morning, I want you to pray. And I know it is our duty to pray for the lost and to seek after the lost and to witness to the lost. That's our duty. And I know it's our duty to seek after God to save our family, our children, our spouses, our loved ones. But the Lord laid it upon my heart that I'd ask this church, each and not each family, but each individual, I want you to pray and ask God to lay somebody on your heart. I want you to, and don't let it be your husband or your children, because you pray for your children. Amen. You pray for that spouse to be saved. But I just felt God impress me to find somebody out. Ladies, find you a lady in your community that's not going to church, that's not saved. Amen. And I want you to take them to heart. And I want you to really seek after God for that one person. And try to come up with a name by tonight. If you want to let me know tonight, Wednesday night, at least by next Sunday morning, what we're going to do. Men, find you a man and seek after God for him. What I'm going to ask you to do, and if you're not going to participate, I'm not going to sit here and browbeat over it, but I'm asking you for the sake of the burden. I pray that God would help you to share in my burden for the lost. Amen. We want to see church attendance grow. Amen. But I want to see lost souls saved. Did you hear me? Amen. I know that there's some that used to come here that no longer goes here. And, you know, that's fine. And I prayed and I let them know they're welcome here. We can't spend the next so many years seeking after those to come back. Amen. I want to see lost souls saved. Did you hear me? So I want to see people praying the altar, seeking after God with all of their heart. Amen. So what I'm asking is this. You find you somebody, amen, through prayer that God may burden your heart with. That's not necessarily, if it's a family member far off, that's fine. And if it's really a burden on your heart, especially for somebody in your immediate family, that's fine. But I'm asking for you to look for somebody out of the ordinary. I want you to take their name. We're going to get a separate prayer box. These are needs, and we're going to pray and continue praying for these needs that's in this box. But I'm going to get a special box just for the lost. And I want you to write their name on that piece of paper. What I want you to do is, and I know you need to continue praying for those that are lost, but I want you to just especially pray and fast and seek after God to deal with that one heart. And what I'm asking you to do is something that may be out of the norm, but I'm asking you to do this. I want you to contact that person every Saturday and invite them to the house of God. Every Saturday. If they don't show up, don't get discouraged. You keep on calling. Amen. And I want you to not nag that person to death. You can push a person away by keeping on and keeping on. But if you don't feel that you're being a bother to that person, now we need to bother the devil. And I'm not talking about a person under conviction so that like they don't want to be bothered. But don't just worry them to death. But if you sense that they are being receptive to this, I want you through prayer every Saturday morning or Saturday evening. If you know they're not going to be home Saturday, leave it on the answer machine. Call them earlier. But get them in the house of God. Amen. That's what I'm asking. And you say, Brother Sean, what if they get saved and go somewhere else? That's fine. I mean, I want to see church attendance grow here. I want to see a growth. And I, you know, great if other Christians start coming. That's fine. I appreciate that. I'm glad for any increase that God will give. But it is our responsibility to go out into the highways and the hedges and to compel them to come in. And we can't expect them to, well, we'll put a sign up, we'll put flyers up, they know we're here. Well, we've got to do our duty as a child of God and compel them to come in. What we'll do is every service that the Lord will help me to remember, we'll take that box and we'll pray over it. And I'm asking you to let me know as the pastor who you're, now if you just prefer not to let me know who you're praying for and who you've taken a burden for, that's fine. I feel my responsibility that God impressed me as the responsibility of being the pastor. And I'm not trying to ramble. I'm sharing with you the burden on my heart, so I'm hoping you're paying attention to me. I feel the responsibility not only to take a person into burden for myself, but not only that person, but as well as those that you have prayed for as well. So if you will share that name with me, if you don't want to, if you feel more in the need of just keeping it to yourself, that's fine. That's not going to hurt my feelings one bit. You have to try harder to hurt my feelings than that. But I want us to really take this into consideration, and as early as tonight, Wednesday night or next Sunday morning, please let me know, and I'll be continuing to remind you of this in the service tonight and Wednesday night and next Sunday morning, amen, that God would move. Amen. I want to see some lost souls saved. You know, it's great to feel the presence of God in the service. It's good to experience and feel the spirit of unity that we feel, but if we only keep it in this house, what good is it doing? I want the lost to feel what we feel. I want them to feel that conviction. Amen. Praise God. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter number 15. Verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, and saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Praise God. With the help of God, I'd like to preach on a thought this morning, searching for the lost. Stretch your hands this way. Let's ask God's blessings. Amen. In the service this morning. Father, I love you. And God, we need your help this morning. We need
to feel your presence, feel your power, and feel your glory.
God, I pray that you would not only anoint me with words of wisdom and words of knowledge, but God, that you would come down into this service this morning, God, and anoint us to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, help us to take hold of your word this morning. God, not only to be hearers, but doers of the word of God. God, move in a very special way this morning. Not that a soul will leave the same way they came. But touch us each and every one by your power and by your presence and your spirit. Minister, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. God's people said, Amen. And amen. For 2 Corinthians in chapter number 4 and verse number 3 said, Paul said these words, But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those in the four walls of our churches. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. In the first parable that was told in the book of Luke that I read for the text this morning, we see the first parable told by Jesus was of the sheep. We see here that Jesus speaks of a field of sheep where there's 100 sheep. And I want you to note something, and I want you to listen to me very closely when I say this. We see here that Jesus makes no mention of a shepherd. Now, I understand that he makes mention, and we always like in the words, what man of you having 100 sheep, Now, I liken that. Yes, I do. I agree that He is speaking of and referring to the shepherd. Amen. Because the man who would have the sheep would be the shepherd. Amen. But we see here that He makes no mention of using the term shepherd. But He says, what man of you, representing that shepherd, but He did not signify the shepherd. Amen. I want you to see something deeper in this passage this morning. And I'm not trying to say that He wasn't referring to a shepherd. So don't, go ahead on the start. Don't get me wrong. Amen. But I want you to look much farther than the shepherd. Amen. And I want you to look much farther than the responsibility of that shepherd. And I want you to understand something. As the pastor of this church, I know my responsibility. Amen. Over the flock of this congregation. Amen. So I'm not trying to bypass that this morning. Amen. But I want you to see something this morning. I want us to look at something. Amen. Much deeper. Amen. I want you to look beyond that shepherd. And I want you to look, amen, in the field, amen, where them sheep are grazing this morning. Amen. The Bible said that there's 100 of them out there. And all of a sudden, amen, the shepherd, this man rather, amen, does his count. Amen. Why has he got 99 out there? Amen. There's somebody missing. Amen. There's a sheep somewhere, amen, that's wandered off, amen, into the brush or into, amen, come on now, into the woods. Amen. They have wandered away from the fold. Amen. Now Jesus, amen, shows a plain indication. Amen. There's 100 sheep. Amen. Now one of them's gone missing. Amen. Does that, amen, man that is over the sheep, amen, that's tending to the sheep, amen, does he just say, well, I've got a good crowd still. Amen. I still got a good number of sheep. Amen. I still got a great majority. 99 still here. Amen. And one of them's gone missing. Amen. Well, I'm just going to say I got a good crowd and I'm not going to worry about that one. No. Amen. That's a hireling that will say such a thing. Amen. The passerbyers of that sheep field may not care. Amen. That one of those sheep went missing. Amen. But those in that field, in the shepherd of that field, has a responsibility. Amen. When one little sheep, amen, wanders away from the fold, amen, that he goes out and finds him. Well, Brother Sean, what are you trying to say? I'm going to tell you something this morning. What does one little sheep matter? Come on now. Amen. We had some, amen, that prayed and sought after God. Amen. Shed tears. Amen. And because, amen, they hadn't always been in church. Amen. We want to think, well, they just got a little spell of it and didn't come back. Come on now. I'm talking about those that's prayed since I've been here as pastor. Amen. You say, well, it's your responsibility. You're 100% right. It is my responsibility as a shepherd of this flock. Amen. That when a sheep is here, amen, that we try, they don't understand. Amen. They don't see the need. Amen. The sheep really don't understand. Understand, and that's the reason it is the responsibility of that shepherd to keep them all together. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. How many went out and said, hey, when they didn't come back to church, amen, you need to get back in the house of God. Amen. God loves you. We love you. And we don't want to lose you. I'm a praying for you. You need to stay in the house of God. Because if you're not careful, the wolves and the amen, animals in that field will destroy you. You browbeat. No, I'm not. I'm trying to help us to understand the need of looking for the... Well, Brother Sean, amen, what are you saying? Let me just say this. Beside the point of the fact that that one person has a soul, amen, let me tell you, somebody sought after you. Amen, you didn't have sense enough to come to God. Amen, you had to have God deal with you. And somebody prayed for you. And somebody compelled. Well, I was raised in it, Brother Sean. Amen, but I'm going to tell you, if you didn't have praying parents or a praying pastor, come on now, if you didn't have the sweet, amen, Holy Ghost of God, amen, to come by to compel you, amen, come by to draw you, if you didn't have somebody, amen, to seek after your lost soul, you'd have been out of the world like the rest of them. But beyond the fact, that's just one. You know, I don't really have the time to look for that one. Not five, not ten, not half the sheep, but one little lost sheep. Well, we'll have 99. Let me tell you something. You carry that attitude, after a while, you come back to that sheep field, you're going to have 98. After a while, you keep that up, that wolf out there sees that. Come on now, not only the shepherd, amen, but nobody else seems to care about the sheep in that field. After a while, you're going to have 97. Amen. After a while, you're going to have 96. Amen. After a while, you're going to have 95 and 94. And after a while, you're going to look around, you're going to have 54. After a while, you're going to look around, you're going to have 34. And the next thing you know, you've got 99 missing sheep, and you've only got one in front of you. What happened? Nobody desired when that first one went missing. And it took a while and compel them to come back home. Amen. Nobody saw the desire. Nobody had a care. Amen. To look for that one. Amen. That went missing. You want to talk about numbers? I'm going to tell you something. A penny earned is a penny that you didn't have when you had it, if you want to look at numbers. But I'm going to tell you, you need to get your eyes and you need to get your mind off of numbers. Amen. I don't care if they come to Geneva or not. I do. I want to see Geneva prosper. I want to see Geneva Church of God grow. I want to see it to where, amen, before we ever get a building, amen, we got a problem, because the worst, amen, the best problem I can have as a pastor is to look at my council and say, we ain't got nowhere to sit the people because they're coming in. I'm telling you something. Amen. Numbers does not matter. It's the soul of man. It's that sheep. Amen. That if we don't save them, if we don't compel them, if we don't look for them, the wolf of this world will destroy their soul. God help us. The parable of the lost coin. This story is so insignificant. This story is almost stupid. You call the Word of God stupid? No. What does it matter that a woman had 10 pieces of silver? I said, I got your attention when I said stupid, didn't I? What does it matter that a woman in her house, in the dark, she had darkness in her home because she'd have never lit the candle to look for it. Amen. There's darkness all around. And she had 10 pieces of silver. Amen. And she lost one piece. Well, I still got the 9. I'm going to put them 9 pieces of silver in my pocket, and I'm going to tend to them better. I'm going to care for them better. No. Amen. Let me tell you what Jesus done. Amen. It sounds so crazy. Amen. To think about a woman losing a piece of silver. Amen. But this story is drawing a parallel to something greater than a coin. Amen. The story of the sheep, amen, draws a parallel. Amen. That is something stronger than a sheep. Come on now. Amen. She looks and she says, I have lost my coin. I have lost a piece of silver. Amen. I don't know the value, the face amount of that piece of silver. Amen. But she did not have an attitude that says, I still got 9 pieces in my pocket, and I will not lose those 9. Amen. But she put those 9 in her pocket and said, I'm not going to lose them. But in the meantime, give me a candle. I got to light it. I got to go out into that dark room. I got to look, amen, for the lost coin. The Bible says she found it. The Bible says that man found his lost sheep. The Bible shows where both of them gets on the telephone, calls it up, and calls everybody up in the neighborhood and says, hey, friends, neighbors, you know what? That sorry sheep left my fold. That sorry sheep left my field. It have no business doing it. Went out and done this. Went out and done that. Went out pilfering around. No. He got on that phone And some of you need to keep your mouth shut about things that you talk about on the telephone. It gets back to me. And you need to start saying this. Hey, amen. You know what they done last Sunday? Hey, amen. Yeah, they wandered away just a little bit. Hey, amen. But praise God, I found them. Oh, hallelujah to God. Hey, amen. Let me tell you something. This woman, hey, amen, didn't say that crazy coin rolled right out of my pocket, rolled right out of my hand. And I didn't know where it was, but I found it. No, she did, but she called her friends. She called her neighbors and said, amen, the lost coin. They thought she was crazy. They thought she lost her mind. Amen, what do we care about your lost coin? Amen, but she had an excitement in her heart. Amen, that says, I lost my coin. Amen, but I got a candle. I lit it. I went into the darkness and I went searching for it. And I wasn't going to give up until I found it. Brother Sean, they don't look like us. I got my back turned for a reason. Brother Sean, they on drugs. Brother Sean, they smell when they come in. Brother Sean, they ain't all together upstairs. Amen, they act funny. I'm going to tell you something. You need to get your priorities in the right place or you're going to wind up being the lost sheep. Amen, I'm going to tell you something. That wolf don't care who he gets. All he wants is a sheep. Amen, to wander away from the fold. And if you're not careful, you'll be one of the 99 that are missing. Searching for the lost. Searching for the lost. Searching for the lost. The Bible speaks to this woman who has the coin. And the Bible says that she looked, she found her a candle, she lit it, and she didn't just look, but she swept around that house. She started cleaning the house, started moving things around. Get out of my way. Amen. And the Bible spoke this of her. She searched or sought after it diligently. God help us this morning. Amen. Well, I called them with a time, Brother Sean, one time, and they act like they didn't care. I'm going to tell you something. There's one, amen, that's prayed in the altar since I've been pastor. Amen. I'm not bragging on my wife. I am in a way. Amen. She went down there and took these people. Amen. A big old pot. Amen. A chicken and dumplings that said, we love you and we're praying for you. Oh, they hugged her and said at one point, amen, nobody ever acted like they cared before. Amen. How do you think they feel today? Amen. Nobody calls them. Nobody goes to see. Brother Sean, I don't have time, but I'm telling you something. If we want to see growth, if we want to compel them to come in, it is our responsibility as the children of God, and it is our responsibility as being a part of that fold to go out and say, hey, you're lost and undone. Hey, if you're not careful, you're going to lose your soul. God help us. You say, what is the parallel drawn? Well, some crazy sheep missing and a coin I care nothing about. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. If these people who thought so much of that coin that she had to find that one little coin, if that person, that man, is out there in that sheep field, thought so much of one little sheep, even though he still had 99 left, even though he had a great majority of them left, amen, if that man who lost one little sheep, amen, the woman who lost one little piece of silver, if they thought so much of that piece of silver, and that man thought so much of that one little sheep, how much more so should we consider the soul of man? How much more so when there's a lost sinner that sits on our pews, should we endeavor to reach out and pull them in? If that was Pam led out there in sin, it'd be a different thing, wouldn't it? I'm not pointing you out. You know what I mean. When it's your own, you care. But when it's Brother Mitchell's, it doesn't matter as much, does it? That sheep's in my field. I'm going to tell you something. We got to get past the numbers. And we got to katayela mohota. I know you ain't shouting me down this morning. I didn't expect you to, but I want to reach our hearts. I would love for God to take a burden and just burn it into our hearts this morning. And say, you know what? I left there Sunday morning, even though the preacher wasn't all that great. I went there Sunday morning, and I really didn't care. But God put a burden in my heart. I saw, you know what? If that had been my kid, I don't have any children. And I'm going to tell you something. There's somebody out there that's got lost children. And there's somebody out there that's got a lost husband. There's somebody out there with a lost brother or sister. And can I tell you something? That could be my children. That could be my parents. That could be my spouse. But I'm going to tell you, we need to say, hey, God, give me a desire to search for the lost. The importance of this is that all of heaven loves to see the 99 still together. I wasn't saying they didn't care about the 99. Heaven rejoices over that. But when that one that went away walks through that door, and where there should be an altar, comes down here and weeps and cries and prays, don't know nothing about God, on drugs, alcohol, prostitution, come on now, smells and stinks, amen, looks like they've been out, amen, never knew what a bath was about, but there was a soul, packed this house full of 99 holiness people shouting under the power of God, but you let one lost sheep, amen, come back to the fold, and all of heaven will forget for a moment that you're even shouting. They'll forget that you're holiness just for a moment's time. They'll look over the fact that you're speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, and they'll say, hey God, all your blood has washed another one white as snow. There's another one that's been brought back to the fold. There's another one that's come home. God, help us this morning. God, give us a burning desire to seek after the lost. Whose responsibility is it, Brother Sean? Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 1, brethren. Pastors, evangelists, Sunday school teachers, brethren, if a man be overcome in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. And he stopped there. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Can I tell you, me and my wife, I guess God was preparing my heart before I ever went to camp meeting this week. I want to tell you something. I just hope you don't fall out with me for just going away for 2 nights. Amen. Trying to get revived. I got to hear preaching sometime too. Amen. But I want to tell you something. God stirred my heart while I was there. But on the way, my wife asked me some question I don't remember. And when she asked me questions, I give about an hour, 2 hour answers. Say amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Something stirred within my heart. And God was already getting my attention about this message just more than I didn't know about it. And I'm going to tell you something. We got to talking. And I told her these very words. Maybe not word for word and verbatim. This is my meaning. I'm going to tell it to you. The fallacy of the holiness movement. I don't mean the church of God, the assemblies. But I'm talking about us holiness people. And then our fallacy is we'll be so critical of that worldly bunch down the road. Come on now. You know I preach against it. I stand as firm as our. Come on now, you know I do. I preach it in this pulpit. We'll be down there, amen, criticizing so-and-so's church, amen, for just hugging up to the world and loving on them and smooching on them and putting it on the platform. Come on now, amen, that person committed adultery. Amen, that person lives like a heart. Amen. That person lives in sin. Amen. But you know what they'll do is they'll put their arms around them and say, I love you. I'm a praying for you. God's going to help you get through it. Amen. I'm not trying to justify, amen, putting it on the platform because they do need to sit down. Amen. When something like that happens, I believe it. And I'll stand for it in this church. Amen. But what the holiest people do is we'll look at them and look. Amen. To say, how could you do such a thing? How could you betray us? How could you make us look bad? How come on now? Amen. You don't think I'm calling them, but you'll call so and so and say, hey, you know what that person done? I'm going to get back on my message. But we'll criticize from here to here. That church for hugging them. I'm going to tell you something. Them charismatic know how to show love. We preach against that love all the time. I think we need to find some of it. You say we don't love Brother Sean. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying in general, I believe the fallacy has been when we had the opportunity to that person come in, I don't believe that we should tolerate them smearing it in our face. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm telling you, a lot of times they come in, maybe they had a repentant heart and maybe they didn't, but we had the opportunity, amen, to reach out and pull them in. We had the opportunity to reach out and say, hey, you're on the membership roster, but you committed some sin, amen, that we don't stand for. Amen. You've done something we don't agree with, but we're not going to cast you out. We're not going to have an attitude, but we're going to compel you to come in. Amen. When a brother, amen, when a sister is overtaken with a fault, when they're overtaken with sin, compel them to come back home. You want to tell you who our greatest enemy is? I'm veering off, but God's leading me this way. You want to tell you who the holiness movement's greatest enemy is? It's not that drunk. It's not that drug addict. It's not that prostitute. It's not the drunkard. It's those who have felt the power of God. It's those that lived a holiness life. Amen. But because they fell, amen, in the weakness of the hour, amen, the holiness bunch looked at them and criticized and talked about them and gossiped about them until they turned away with a hard heart toward God. You tell somebody about God and how God wants to deal with them, how God loves them, and they felt the power of God, they'll turn you off in a heartbeat. You know what they done? They talked about me. You know what things I've seen? I'm going to tell you something. When you get on that phone, you know what I heard a preacher say at town meeting? He was preaching. I won't tell you who he was. He was doing a great job, anointed by God. He was having a problem with people gossiping in his church about the worldliness. Come on now. Hey man, we can't help what comes on these pews. We can help what gets on that platform. Did you hear me? I want to see them saved. We don't want them to come in. I'm going to tell you something. We need to see them on the pew if we ever expect them to get in the altar. They was gossiping and talking and just rumoring things around. I'm hurrying. I'm preaching along. I'm acting like I'm a Red Creek preaching almost past 12 o'clock. It'll be all right. It'll happen every Sunday. Let me tell you something, though. You know what he said? He got up behind the pulpit and he looked at him and said, amen, as the pastor and the leader of this church, I'm telling you, it wasn't Joey Hyde either. Amen. But he said, I'm going to tell you something. If you have a problem with people calling you and gossiping with you, you find their phone number out and you call the phone company and you put a book on their phone. You know what happened? I think he said the next Sunday, hey man, this woman come up to him and said, Brother so-and-so, I almost said his name, God help me. He said, Brother so-and-so, you know what? I can't get a hold of nobody in the church. She told on herself, didn't she? Brother Sean, I'm giving a prayer request. You are gossiping, and you need to keep your mouth closed. There's a man, Brother David King, over at, was it Daleville, goes over to Yule now, Sister Tomlin's son-in-law, or grandson-in-law. The lady in our church said, told my mother, I won't tell her name, but she was, you know who I'm talking about. I said, don't say it. I said, Brother, our sister, you know, Brother David drives that RPS truck. I'm not talking about Brother David, I'm commending him. So don't think I'm fixing to tell you something juicy about Brother David. His woman said, he caught me at the movie theater. And you know what? He didn't even tell the pastor, Sister Tomlin. He kept his mouth closed about it. That's what we need to do. You see that, brother? Now, I ain't nothing wrong with saying, you know, Brother Led, I feel concerned about somebody. I want you to pray for somebody. I feel concerned about Brother Leonard. I want you to pray for him. God's burdened my heart with him. But that's all you got to say. Come on now. I'm going to tell you, Brother Sean, I thought we were searching for the lost. We're searching for the lost. But we got to know what turns them away. We got to remember what turns them off. I'm telling you something. God, help me this morning. I feel God stirring in my soul. Amen. If somebody calls you, or if you're the one dialing the numbers, amen, to try to share some gossip as prayer requests, amen, I'm asking, I'm commanding you in the name of Jesus to keep your mouth closed. If you have something to say, amen, you need to tell God. And I'm going to tell you something else. When you sin, your brother in a fault, what you need to do is go in the spirit of meekness and compel them to come home. Stand with me this morning. What was the ministry of Jesus, Brother Sean? The Bible said of Jesus, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. One of the first messages he preached, he turned to the book of Isaiah and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them which are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. When they saw, they heard the words come from his lips, the Bible says their eyes was fixed upon him. What's this man going to say next? Amen. And all of a sudden, Jesus closed his book, I believe. Amen. Stepped back from behind that pulpit and looked at him and he said unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Amen. They didn't like that. Amen. That religious bunch wanted to cast them out and throw them over a cliff, the Bible said, and kill them. Amen. Because they knew, amen, this is the son of Joseph. But I'm telling you something. Amen. The devil in this religious society, even in the holiness movement, they don't care. We got our too few, and it ain't nobody ever going to get saved again. I'm going to tell you something, even though we're living in the last days, and I know we don't see them praying like we used to, and I know they may not get saved by the dozens and by the hundreds anymore, but I'm going to tell you something, until the rapture takes place and I'm changed into a glorified body, it is my responsibility and it is your responsibility, amen, to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to get saved. God, in the name of Jesus, I preached my heart this morning. God, this morning I pray that you would deal with every heart and every life under the sound of my voice. God, I pray that every soul, I don't care how long they've been saved, how spiritual they are. God, whether it be the leaders in the church or whether it be somebody that's not hardly able to move, but God, would you take a coal from the altar and then burn it on our hearts, a desire to search for the lost. God, that one lost soul. God, that one lost soul is so important.
Because God, if it was us going out into eternity lost, we would have wished somebody would have compelled us. God, if that was our child, then you would have sent somebody to compel them to come in and to be saved. God, I know the world is hurting and dying, but right here in this community, right here under our own noses, people are going to hell. God, deal with their hearts. But God, farther than that, right now, I'm praying that you would deal with the heart of every person in this church to see the need to search for the lost. Give us that burning desire. In Jesus' name I pray. Would you come to these altars this morning?